Okay, we're going to start here at the beginning of Masechet Bechorot. Just before we start, I want to give a quick introduction to the Masechta. The placement of Masechet Bechorot over here, and I sent some sheets out that have the psukim and some of this introductory material in it. Placement of Bechorot after Chulin, the Rambam and his Hakdama, the Mishnah, mentions the fact that V'achar Chulin Bechorot Keseder HaKatuv. The reason that the Gemara places Bechorot after Chulin is because of the psukim that are found in Devarim Yudbet, because after it says, Rak Bechalavat Nafshecho, so over there it's talking about eating Basar Chulin, eating Basar Ta'ava. And after that, the Pasuk says, Lo Tuchau, Lechol Bish Arecha, Masar Degancha, V'tiroshecha, V'yitzarecha, Uvechorot, V'karcha, V'tzonecha, Chol Nidarecha, Shertidor, V'nidvatecha, Shumat Yodecha. The fact that Bechorot are mentioned in the Pasuk after Psukim discuss Basar Tava tells us or gives us the reason for why Bechorot is placed after Chulin. As far as the Torah is concerned, the Torah is pretty explicit as to why the mitzvah of Bechor exists. It exists on three different planes. There's the mitzvah Bechor Adam, there's the mitzvah Bechor Behema Tehura, and then there's the mitzvah of Bechor Behemat Me'ah, which only has application to the Chamor. And the Torah tells us the reason for this is, Ki li kol Bechor B'yom HaKuti kol Bechor B'eretz Mitzrayim, Da'ashti li kol Bechor B'Yisrael, Me'adam V'ad Behemah, li yu ani Hashem. Hashem is explicit, the reason that the din, or the mitzvot of Bechor exist, are because of the fact that Hashem killed all the firstborn in Mitzrayim, and there it says that He killed from the Bechor Yosheva Kisei until the Bechor Hashevi, Ad Bechor Behemah, all the way down to the firstborn of the animals. So the fact that Hashem killed all the firstborn in Mitzrayim, therefore we have the mitzvah of Bechor. In terms of the mitzvah, and we'll come back in a second to just discuss the Ashkafah or the idea behind it, but when it comes to the psukim that relate to the mitzvah of Bechor, Sefer Vayikra says about the Bechor, Ach Bechor, Asher Yivukar LaHashem BeBehemah, Lo Yadish Ishoto, Im Shorim Se LaHashem Hu, that the Pasuk in Vayikra seems to indicate that there is no necessity to be Magdish the Bechor, at least when it comes to Bechor Behemah Torah for sure, but it's true of the others as well, because Lo Yadish Oto, there is no reason to be Magdishit, it's not necessary at all. The reason for that is because we have in Shmod Perek Yud Gimel, the end of Parshat Bo, that's Kadesh Li Kol Bechor Peter Korechem Ibn Yisrael Badam Behemah Lihu, that because it's Peter Rechem, that as soon as it comes through the birth canal, comes out of the womb, the animal, the human being, is automatically kadosh. It's kadosh, as we called, mirechem. So that's the implications of Div Sukim. The only problem is, in Sefer Dvarim, it seems to indicate that we do have to make an active hakdasha of the Bechor, because you have in Dvarim Perek Tedvav, Pasuk Yuted, Kol HaBechor, Ashri Valeit Bibcharcha Butzonecha, Hazachar Takdish Lashem Lokecha, Lo Tavor Bibchor Sherecha, Lo Tagoz Bechor Tzonecha. Over there it says, Azachar Takdish Lashem. Sounds like you do have to be Magdish. Gemara asks the question. It's a Gemara in Erechin and Daf Chavter Amud Aleph. It's also a Gemara in Nidorim Yud Gimel and Aleph and Nazir Dalad Amud Bet. There the Gemara has a Mishnah that it first brings down, which is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. It's also Rabbi Yossi in the Gemara in Nazir. Ketuv Echad Omer Takdish. Ketuv Echad Omer Lo Yagdish. One Pasuk says you do have to be Magdish the Bechor. One Pasuk says you do not have to be Magdish the Bechor. How do I reconcile between them? So Rabbi Shmuel's solution in the Mishnah and Erechin is Haketzad, Makdisho Ata Egdesh Elui, Viata Makdisho Egdesh Mizbeach. In terms of the Mizbeach, in terms of Kedushat Aguf related to the Mizbeach, not necessary whatsoever to be Makdish the Behema, because it's Kadosh Mirechem, and that's what the Pasuk of Yikra is referring to, that Lo Yagdish Oto. There's no reason, no necessity to be Makdishit. On the other hand, the Pasuk in Dvarim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, which says that you should be Makdishit, that's referring to what's called Hekdesh Ilui, or the value or the Tovat Hana'ah, the value that you have as the owner of this Bechor to distribute it to whichever Kohen you want. That value, you can be Makdish Lashem. And therefore, that residual value or that benefit that you have in the Bechor, that small benefit, you can be Makdish Lashem. That's what Rabbi Shmuel suggests. The Chachamim disagree. And the Rabbanon in the Gemara right there in Erechin say, which is Rabbanon, Al Takdish Mi Bayle Lalav. Al Takdish is a lav, it's a lotase. Takdish Mi Bayle Lekdetanyo. And the takdish we need for the brayta, minayin lulad bechor be'edro shemitzvah lakdisho. How do I know that if you have a bechor that is born in your flock, that you should be makdishin and says that this is a bechor? Shenemar azachar takdish. The zachar you are makdish. So the Rabbanon, as opposed to Rabbi Shmuel, don't see a problem with being makdish the bechor, but they actually see that it's a positive, that there's a tzivoy, that there's a mitzvah here to makdish the bechor despite that has kedusha mirechem. There's an additional mitzvah here to be magdish to bechor. We have that mishum rabbi in the Gemara Nedarim, as well as mishum beit rabbeinu, which I'm assuming is also rabbi in Nazir. The fact is that one should, that there's a mitzvah. Minayin lulad bechor b'toch b'etoshim mitzvah l'agdisho. There's a mitzvah to magdish it despite the fact that it's already kadosh. Now, what do they do with the pasuk of lo takdish? There they say that there's a lav of trying to machlif, trying to exchange or do tmurah with the bechor, trying to move kedusha back and forth, be matpis kedusha, where the pasuk in Vayikra is found in that context of tmurah, lo yamirenu, lo yachlifenu. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Shmuel responds to them and says, I don't understand. If you're not makdishit, isn't it kodesh? If you don't say that it's kodesh, won't it be kodesh anyway? And the answer is yes, that is true. And we have other examples of this in the Torah. For instance, the most prominent of that is Shabbat. Shabbat is Kidshu V'Kaimo. It exists with or without us. It's going to be Kadosh. But nevertheless, we're asked to be Mikadesh the Shabbat. We're asked to make Kiddush on Shabbat. And it's the same type of principle, the same idea here applies by the Bechor. But despite the fact that it is, has underlying Kedusha, we still are required or we are empowered by the Torah to be Magdishit as a Bechor. The Torah Tmima points out, with regards to this, that there might be some nafkuminot, halacha. So for instance, if one, by the Bechor Adam, has to be Pijon, it's called Pijon Bechor, you have to redeem it. And the same with the Petar Chamor, which we'll discuss in one second, that the Bechor Behemat Meyad, that you have to redeem with this set. Over there, you would make a brocha on doing the Pijon. Because there, the mitzvah is lifdot. And the Pijon that you do, you'll make a brocha on that Pijon, because you're actually doing something in that manner. Whereas he suggests over here that it comes to a Bechor Behema Torah, which is Kadosh Mirechem, and the only thing you're supposed to do now is give it to the Kohen. Beyond that, you have another mitzvah, an additional mitzvah to Makdish it on your own. That mitzvah, he says, he doesn't think that you should have to make a broch on it. So wherever it's found, whatever the Kedusha is, that Kedusha is already grabbed by Kodesh, because it's an inherent kedusha, and therefore just giving it to the Kohen, it's your right, but you're just returning it basically to where it belongs, and that is to Kodesh. Because there you do the bracha, give the bracha because of the pijon. Over here, there is no pijon, it's just giving it to the Kohen, but it really is in the possession of Hakdesh already, because it's born with that kedusha inherent in it. Gam near nafkamin, he says another nafkamin over here is, shehekdesh bepeh, eno me'akev, burak mitzvah alma. It's not makdish, this hekdesh over here is obviously not me'akev. The other thing that is a nafkamin, he says that you can be makdish it even the first 8 days of its life. As opposed to other karbanot, where you have to wait till after the 8th day to be makdish it, because it's until the 8th day, it's not ra'ui to be a karban. And therefore only from the 8th day and on are you able to be makdish it as a karban. Nevertheless, by Bechor, that would not be the case, which you'll be allowed to be Magdish even before that, because the only mitzvah over here, as he points out, we actually have a pasuk by Bechor that says that you have to remain 7 days with its mother. That's only the requirement to give it to the Kohen. The giving it up to the Kohen has to wait until the 8th day. But before that, there's no problem. It's already Kadosh. And to be Magdish as Kedushat Bechor, you could do even prior to that point in time. Those are some of the nafkamino the Torah Tmima lays out by the fact or whether there is this additional mitzvah to be makdish bechor and how it differs from other types of hekdesh that we see. The Gra brings down in Shulchan Aruch and he notes, it's the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, Yer Deya, Siman Shin Vav, Siman Katon Dalid. Over there the Gra discusses the fact that it's actually a machloket rishonim, had a paskin, to be paskin like Rabbi Shmuel or the Rabbanon. Machloket is the Rambam versus the Torah B'Shem Arosh. And therefore, it's not so clear the halacha where what we hold, whether we hold that one does need to be makdishit or should be makdishit, or whether it's completely unnecessary, as Rabbi Shmuel states. That's the first part of the introduction. The next piece has to do with our perek, which is the fact that our perek starts off with Petar Chamor. And the Gemara in Bechorot actually asks, why does the Masechta begin with Petar Chamor? The Gemara on Daf, Yud Gimel and Aleph says, Litnei Reisho Ubar Parato. Why don't we deal with Bechor Behemat Torah first, the Kedushat HaGufu. That has Kedushat HaGuf. It ends up on the Mizbeach B'tzatam. And then, Hadar Litnei Ubar Chamoro. And then deal with Petar Chamor, which is only Kedushat Damim, because you're going to end up exchanging it. So, Kedushat Damim, who? So, Amri B'maro, Ben Eretz Yisrael, they said, two reasons. Ibai Deima, Aida D'Chaviv, like Rabbi Chanina. Because it's special, it's unique, like the drasha of Rabbi Chanina, which we'll see in a second. Since Petar Chamor is a much smaller topic, only deals with one parak, our first parak over here, as opposed to the subsequent five or six prokim that deal with Bechor Behemat Torah. Since it was small, contained, and we could do it in a quick shot, therefore they put Petar Chamor first, and then only afterwards did they deal with Bechor Behemat Torah. Now, what is this Rabbi Chanina they're referring to? It's also the Gemara in Bechorot and Daf Heyamud Bet. There it says, "Amar Rabbi Chanina, Shalti Rabbi Eliezer bebeit Modvar Rabo, Ma nishtenu pitrei chamorim mipitrei susim v'gmalim." Why is the Torah, when it says that the Bechor behemat meah, exchange it for a set, which goes to the Kohen, or you have to do Arifah, you have to kill the Petar Chamor, why is that only true by a Chamor? What happened to other animals, susim, gmalim? Malay, gzerat ha-kotuvi. Number one is a gzerat ha-katuv. Since it's a gzerat katuv, that's what we said before, it's a mitzvah, it's chaviv alei, because it's a gzerat katuv, we keep it, even though there's no reason behind it, it's a chok. That's the first explanation, and that's why they put it first, because it's chaviva, because it being a chok. Ve'od. The other reason that's given is, shishayu li Yisrael b'shad yitziyatam mimitzrayim. That the chamarim were essential, or integral, in B'nai Yisrael's leaving of Mitzrayim, that they loaded all their goods onto the chamarim that helped them to leave Mitzrayim, and therefore, in that sense, or that reward, the chamorim take on or have a special status within the mitzvah of the Bechor. And what I want to do now is use that to understand, based on that, we'll understand a little more deeply why chamor. There's some other explanations of it. But from that, I want to use that as a springboard to understand the mitzvah of Bechor in general. So when it comes to the mitzvah of Petar Chamor, we know that it says, the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel also says, mitzvah b'diyah kodom et mitzvah arifah. You have two choices. You either exchange it with a seh, or you have to kill it. You have to do arifah, kill it, cut it, break its neck from the back, and kill it. Now the Gemara says that it's clear from the psukim in the Torah, it says, v'im lo tivdev arafto. You do not exchange it, you do not redeem it, then you break its neck. From that, the Gemara concludes that mitzvah b'diyah is the primary option. It's a preferable option in this case, that we'd rather that you redeem it, rather than you kill the b'chor. In addition, the Gemara tells us other places that if you cannot redeem it for a seh, you can put any type of seh, and you can redeem it, doesn't matter size or value. There's no value equivalence there. If you can't bring a seh, for whatever reason you don't do that, you can't do it through shovyo. You can't do it through monetary means to redeem the animal. Now, why? Why is it that we do this? So there is a Midrash Rabbo that is found in the Breshit Rabbo, Parsha Vayichid, Parsha Tzavi Vav. There Yaakov is telling why he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. He says, I don't want to be buried in Mitzrayim because, Hei Mishtachavim L'Seh, the Mitzrayim bow down to the Seh, V'ani Nimshalti B'Seh. And I'm compared to a Seh because it says the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Seh B'Zura Yisrael, Arayot Yidichu Arishon, Achalu Melech Ashur, Zechron Yitzmud Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. Ibn Yisrael considered like a Seh. And Mitzrayim worships the Seh, so Yaakov's afraid if they bury him there that they'll worship him as a Seh. Mitzrayim Tiv, in the guards of the Mitzrayim, it says, Asher, this is a Pasuk in Yechezkel, V'tag V'al Pilag Shehem, Asher B'sar Chamorim B'sarab, U'zirmat Susim Zirmatam. So it compares the Mitzrayim over there to Chamorim. It's talking about Bnei Yisrael's behavior in Mitzrayim, which was not exemplary. They were no better than the Mitzrayim, even worse than the Mitzrayim, and what's described here in Yechezkel. Nevertheless, the Pasuk here mentions the fact that the Mitzrayim are compared to the Chamor. And then the Medrash Rabba ends, V'chtiv u'petar chamor tifteh b'seh. And you have to redeem the chamor with the seh, which is a nice idea in terms of the Yitziat Mitzrayim, remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim, the petar chamor, which represents the Mitzrayim, that has to be redeemed with a seh being the representing Klal Yisrael. And that has to be a change, that the people of Klal Yisrael that were found in Mitzrayim, they were no different than the Mitzrayim, have to exchange and change themselves into the Seh, into the Seh B'zura Yisrael, to take on the Shem Yisrael that they were supposed to do. And that's the elevation of Kedusha that's associated with the exchange of the Chamor to the Seh. And that'd be a nice, just a nice idea as part of what the meaning behind Petach Hamor done with Seth. So those are the two reasons that we saw in the Gemara. One is the fact that the Chamorim helped Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. The other one is that the Mitzrayim are compared to Chamorim, Bnei Yisrael to the Seth, and therefore I redeemed the Chamor with the Seth. Now the Ibn Ezra writes, with regards to Bechor as a whole, and here in the context of Petach Hamor, and I think this will shed more understanding on this. Ibn Ezra, it's in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ki Kol Bechor, Shalei Krav Legabei HaMizbeach, Ovo Yivdech Hayav Mita. Any Bechor that is not put on the Mizbeach, or not redeemed, must be put to death. Ki Kol Bechor Mitzrayim Adam Ve'imah Meitu. Because any Bechor Mitzrayim died. Kashem Lo Maltatam Min HaGzerah K'zerar Bechorim Mitzrayim. Shem did not save them from the Gzerah that was in Mitzrayim. Rak Shiu Mukhanim Lavarato. Only for the purpose of being used for his avodah. Now this is a beautiful Ibn Ezra. I think the idea being, Hashem, when he killed all the Bechorei Mitzrayim, established Hashem's credentials in the world. It is the ultimate, it's the peak of the punishment of Mitzrayim, but also the peak of Hashgacha Pratit, of Hashem's involvement in the world, where he's able to pinpoint, take out all the Bechorim in Mitzrayim, yet leave behind all the Bechorei Yisrael. The idea being that this killing of the Bechorim in Mitzrayim really reflects the Hashgacha Pratit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really reflects the unique Kedusha that was created through Hashem's killing of the Bechorim in Mitzrayim. What the Ibn Ezra, I think, is suggesting, or I'm enhancing a little bit about the Ibn Ezra, is that when it comes to the Bechor, you only have one choice. That one choice is to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim with the Bechor. There are different ways to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. In Mitzrayim, there was a Kiddush Hashem by the fact that Hashem wiped out all the Bechorim. He killed all the Bechorim. The other way to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim is to elevate it, to put it on the Mizbeach, Lifnei Hashem. And the other one is to be Podet and give it to the Kohen. Those three options that you have for the Bechor, basically. When it comes to the Petach Hamor, you have options. You either kill it, or you exchange it for a seh, and then by the Bechor Be'imat Torah, you put it on the Mizbeach, or the Kohen eats it. So those three options are what are available when it comes to the Bechor. And then for that reason, the Bechor is Kadosh. Kadosh to do the bidding of Hashem, Kadosh to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in one of these ways. End up on the Mizbeach, be niftet and given to the Kohen, or to kill it, because those were the options in Mitzrayim. Hashem killed all the Bechor in Mitzrayim, including the Behemot. The Bechor Yisrael survived. They survived, and they were Nitan Hashem. At that point, Hashem says it, Kili Kol Bechor. All the Bechorim belonged to me, and they would have, had it not been for the Chet HaEgel, continued to serve Hashem as the Kohanim. And therefore, the Bechorim represent this idea of Kiddush Hashem, and that's why we have to do one of these options with them. It's interesting that the Meshech Chochma takes this even one step further and says, the reason that the Chamorim are unique from all animals is because the Chamorim helped Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, like we saw in the Gemara. But not only that, they also, how Bnei Yisrael got down to Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says in Bereshit Perek Mem Bet, when the brothers are going to see Yosef, or going to get food down in Mitzrayim, it says, Vayisu et shivam al-chamorim vayilchu misham. That when they left Mitzrayim after they visited Yosef and they had carried the food out, it says they took their Chamorim and went out from there. And the Meshech Chochma explains to us that the fact that Bnei Yisrael ended up in Mitzrayim is all Hashkacha Pratit. The fact that they left there is Hashkacha Pratit. And the Chamorim really represent that. The Chamorim, who were both a part of the Yeridah Mitzrayim as well as a part of the Yitziat Mitzrayim, help one focus on this idea that there is Hashem was involved in the process. Even though it looks like we went into Mitzrayim because the brothers sold Yosef, because everything that transpired over there. But at the end, Hashem said it in the Brit Ben Aftarim that we have to end up in Mitzrayim. And therefore, whatever the reasons, the more immediate reasons are, the truth is it's all part of the plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all part of Hashgacha Pratit. And therefore, the Chamor, or the Petach Hamor, reminds us of this fact that it all happens as Hashgacha Pratit made Hashem. And again, we see this by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu, the Savior, is sent in to redeem Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, it says over there, Vayikach Moshe, after Hashem tells him to go to Mitzrayim, Vayikach Moshe, Tishtovet, Benavi, Arkivim, Al-Chamor, Vayashav Arza Mitzrayim. Moshe himself also rode a Chamor into Mitzrayim when he went down to become the savior of Klal Yisrael. So we see that the Chamorim are involved in all these pivotal points, both in Yiridat Mitzrayim and bringing Moshe to Mitzrayim as well as leaving Mitzrayim. And therefore, they should remind us, or it should remind us when we do the mitzvah of Petach Hamor, that the tremendous Hashkocha Pratit and the involvement of Hashem in the world, and that this was a part of Hashem's master plan. Again, I think it relates back to what the Ibn Ezra says as well, which is the idea of the Bechor being Kadesh, is that They belong to the service of Hashem, and they belong to being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and therefore you have to use one of the three options available here, is that either ends up in a Mizbech, if it can, or it has to be redeemed and the value given to the Kohen, or it has to be killed, because those are only three options in terms of being Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. Okay, that's as far as the introduction is concerned. And as we saw in the introduction, we're going to begin here with the cases of Peter Chamor. And that is, the Mishnah begins on Daf Beremud Aleph, Lokeach Ubar Chamoro Shel Oved Kochavim. Someone who purchases the offspring of a Chamor, of an Oved Kochavim. So Chamor, which is a Bechor, this is a Bechor that's going to be born to this Chamor, so you have a Peter Chamor, and it's still inside the mother's womb, and the Jew goes ahead and purchases it and says, that baby, when it's born, will be mine. Or a mocher though, or the opposite case, where it's a Jew's chamor, and the ubar that is inside, which will be a bechor, he sells to Oved Kochavim, afal pi she'enu rashai, even though he's not permitted to do so, we're not permitted to transact in behemot gasot and sell them to the non-Jews, to Oved Kochavim, because, as Mari in Avodah Zarah discusses, kol makom emachim lehem behemot gasa, minei she'oseh ba malacha b'shabbat. Because he does malacha with it on Shabbat, and it's a gezeira atu schira. We're worried about the fact that if you lent it out, or rented it out to the goy, and he does malacha on Shabbat, that'll be problematic, because then it is the chamor of the Jew, it is the beim agas of the Jew doing the work on Shabbat, and that'll be a violation of the Torah law, that one must allow their animals to rest on Shabbat. Again, if he sells it completely, it is the goy's, and it's not a problem at all, because it's his, and he can do what he likes with his behemah. The thing is that we prevent that type of transaction from happening in order that we don't have problems when it comes to the Jew's behemah, renting it out, lending it out, as well as marat ayin. If someone else sees the Jew's behemah with the goy and he's working on Shabbat, they might get the wrong impression either about that individual, and they might think it's mutar to do such a thing on Shabbat. So here, both in the case of purchase by a Jew of the non-Jew's ubar, the fetus, or the other way around, he sells the fetus to the non-Jew when it is the petar chamor, it's the firstborn of the chamor, over there, and we're going to see here that all the halachot in this Mishnah have the same application, which is that they're patur min habechora. They're not required to give peter chamor over here. Ha, mishtatef lo, one who has a partnership with a non-Jew in the behemah, they jointly own the behemah, then there is no din of peter chamor. Mishtatef means that they could have purchased an animal together. That's what Rashi talks about, that they pooled their money and they bought an animal. The Rabbeinu Gershom says over here that he gave the goy a present of half the animal, and there they are joint owners of the animal. Bekabalah over here is the behema, for instance, in a case where hamakabel mimenu, a Jew receives from a goy a behema, it remains the goy's behema, it is the Oved Kochavim's behema, gives it to the Jew to take care of the animal. In exchange for taking care of the animal, they will split the offspring of that animal. They will each have a portion of the offspring of that animal. So they are joint owners in the offspring of the animal. And by notein lo b'kabbalah, same thing the other way around. If it's the Jew's animal, and they gives it to the Oved Kochavim to take care of, based on the fact that they will split the fetuses, they'll split the offspring of this animal, those are kabbalah in both directions. Patur min habechora. In all these cases, you are patur min habechora. Shnemar, because the pasuk tells us that it's only true, bechor is only true when it comes to Yisrael, velo be'acherim, avalo be'acherim. That the only time it works is it's actually called bechor be'Yisrael. That Hashem says that I am makdish all bechorim in Israel. Bechor Yisrael, yes. Bechor Oved Kochavim, no. And therefore, the ownership of the goy will prevent you from having to do the mitzvah of Bechorah, will prevent the Kedusha of Bechorah from coming upon this animal. Right now, the Gemara says, Kohani Lamali, why do I need all the examples in the Mishnah? All the examples in the Mishnah are identical in that they are all examples of a joint ownership between a Jew and a non-Jew. Gemara says, Tzrichei, we need them. Titan alokeach. If it was a case that he had just purchased the animal from the goy, I mean, he purchased the offspring inside, this fetus inside the animal, the reason that over there he's patur mi b'chora is because he's bringing it into kedusha. Ava mocher, the kamafkele mi kedusha, and then when you sell it, that you're removing it from kedusha, ima lekanse. So let's make a knas, that here when he's selling it to the non-Jew and he's removing the kedusha from his animal, that maybe you should still be chayv in b'chora as a knas, as a dinder abonon, The Mashulam, the Mishnah tells us, says either way, whether you buy the fetus or whether you sell the fetus, patur mi bechora. Now, what does it mean that you're bringing it into Kedusha and you're taking it away from Kedusha? We're talking about an animal over here. The animal is a bechor, whether or not you like it. And in this case, when the goy is a joint partner, it's not a bechor, whether you like it or not. So what does it mean that you're bringing it to Kedusha, removing it to Kedusha? What's the difference between purchasing and selling? Rashi says something amazing over here. Rashi says, "Maitelak Kedusha shetei shovetet b'Shabbat." This animal will now keep Shabbat. This animal will now rest on Shabbat because you, as the owner of the animal, will now be required to ensure that it rests on Shabbat. And therefore, when you purchase this animal, you've elevated it because this animal will now become Shomer Shabbat. Became the mitzvah of it, like I'm saying today. So now this animal that becomes Shomer Shabbat gives a mitzvah to its owner. Its owner now who causes the animal to rest. And therefore, since it's Mizak, its owner, in the Shmirat HaShabbat, Ayyadei de Behema, that is the mitzvah that's done here. So that's true when you purchase it, because then you're bringing it into Kedusha. But when you sell it, you're removing it from Kedusha, because this fetus that you sell to the Goy will no longer be under the dominion and ownership of a Jew, and you'll have to keep Shabbat, and then no longer have to rest on Shabbat, and there'll be no mitzvah to its Balim to ensure Shabbat, because it belongs to the Goy. So that's Rashi. Obviously, Tosafot's going to take issue with something like this. Very strange. What do you mean, Shmirat Shabbat? Why is that relevant over here? So Tosafot gives an alternative explanation suggesting that the Kedusha that we're speaking about over here is the fact that it will now have Kedushat Bechor. The animal itself will not have Kedushat Bechor because we know that there is a joint ownership, like our Mishnah says, and therefore it will not have Kedushat Bechor, but its offspring could have a Kedushat Bechor. And that is, if this animal is a female, and then it can give birth. That animal could give birth to Kedushat Bechorah. Tosafot says, despite the fact that there's always a possibility that it's a zachar, that it's a male. And a male will not have this offspring, will never be able to produce offspring and bring in Kedushat Bechorah. Nevertheless, he says, the chance that this fetus can somehow produce Kedushat Bechorah, for instance, if it's a female, come when you buy this fetus, it's a female, and that female now can produce Kedushat Bechorah by being Petarechem, then that elevation to Kedusha, the ability for this animal to create Kedusha, that's when you buy it. But when you sell it, obviously the Goy owns the fetus now, and therefore even if it's a Bechora, even if it's a female, and later gives birth to a Bechora, Petarecha, that will not be Malev Elo Morid, it has no impact. So Tosa says the Kedusha we're talking about here is the ability to produce Kedusha Bechora in the future, whereas Rashi says it's the issue of Shmirat Shabbat. So that's the tzricha for the first two items, which is the lokeach and the mocher. Then the Gemara says, v'mishtateif lo lomeli. So why do I need this idea of partnership? Because lafuke mid Rabbi Yehuda. That's coming to remove the possibility that our Mishnah is altered by Rabbi Yehuda or to disagree with his opinion, which is damer shutafut oved kochavim chayevet bibechora. Shutafut kochavim is chayevin bechora. It's not patur when it comes to partnership. Ah, we said the pasuk in our Mishnah says that it's only by Yisrael. Well, we'll see in a second. We're going to get to that in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you're only chayevin bechora on your portion. Not on the portion of the goy, but the shutafut itself is not sufficient to be poter you from the mitzvah of bechorah. So our Mishnah says, yes, it is. Against Rabbi Yehuda's position, says shutafut is enough to be poter you from the mitzvah of bechorah. Mashalan, dibtura min bechorah. That's the conclusion of our Mishnah. Vehamikabel lamali. What do I need the amikabel memenu? Venotain lo bekabalah. How do I know? Why do I need those cases? Mishom de kaboy le mitnei vanotain lo bekabalah. Receiving it b'kabbalah, I wrote because I have to talk about the case of giving it b'kabbalah. V'notein lo b'kabbalah lamali. Why do I need the case of notein lo b'kabbalah that the Jew gives it over to the goy to split the offspring? Itzrik sakav mi dahol b'ikar behema d'Yisrael. I would have thought since the underlying behema, I mean the mother here is Israel, the kanse will be konesim because he now gave it over to a goy to split the offspring and he's poteret mi mitzvat bichora. So put a knas on him that he will not be poter mi mitzvat bichora. Because dil miyata lichufei bebehema achrite. Because you may come to mix it up with another behema. You will see that there is a bichor born here, and you don't have to give it to the kohen, and people might get the wrong impression. So therefore, we said in the Mishnah, notein lo bekabbalah, you are not chayav in bichora. We don't worry about this. We are not gozer for this suspicion, and that's what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is telling us, that we don't say that, and we don't do that, and therefore, Adontein Bekabalah is Patur Min HaBechorah, and that will be true as of a Mekabel as well, which there is no additional Chiddush in a Mekabel, it's just written to parallel the Anotein aspect of the Mishnah. Then, Atam, Yudumatir Bishvura, we have a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah about selling behemot gasol to a Ovid Kochavim. Over there it says you're not allowed to sell behemah gasa. Yehuda says b'shvura. If it is damaged in some way, if it has a broken leg, if it has something that prevents it from doing malacha, you can sell it. You can sell it to the goy because then the chashash is not existent. Our problem was that if you sell him the behemah gasa, people might get the impression that they'll think it's the Jew's behemah that's doing work on Shabbat, or people might come to do the same thing by schira, rent it out in that way, or lend it out in that way, where there it is a problem because the ownership resides with the Jew still, and it'll be a problem if he's not shavet on Shabbat, supposed to hear where you sell it. Here he says, by shvura, we don't have to worry about that because it doesn't do work. It doesn't work. It's going to be shechted right away. It's going to be used for its meat. And because of that, you don't need to worry about the chashash of being around or people worrying about the shvura because it's clear both the fact that it's not able to do work, as well as the fact that it won't be around for very long, because anybody buys it for its meat. So in Betera Matir Besus, Betera says you can sell them horses, because horses are not used for work in general, they're used for carrying things. And when they're used for carrying things, that's only Nisr Shvut and Nisr Derabonon, because a Chayno said that's Moch, a living being carries itself, and therefore, when you ride on a sus, it's only an Nisr Derabonon on Shabbat, so we're not going to be worried about an Nisr Derabonon auto. Also that you might rent it out, we're going to worry about this issue derabanan, so it allows you to sell sus. Ibailahu, ubar, moli. What's the story with selling a fetus? Meaning over here we said, the Rebbe Yehuda says you can sell a shvura. Now the question is, what does he think about ubar? So Rebbe Yehuda, taimo de Rebbe Yehuda, hatam de shari mishum de shvura. So what's the reasoning for Rebbe Yehuda in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is because it's shvura. It's unable to do malacha. Umarnavi shavuhu. Uber has the same problem. It can't do malacha. If it can't do malacha, it shouldn't be under the restriction. Odilma, shvura lav hainu orche. That by shvura, that's not the normal manner. Meaning that he won't be able to do work. It's now injured in a way that it has, doesn't have the ability to do work. Avalubar, came into hainu orche. Since this is its normal way, I mean, its normal way is to be inside of its mother at this point in time. It hasn't done anything wrong. It hasn't done anything out of the ordinary. As well as the fact that later on it will be able to do malacha. Lav shavur, maybe it's not considered shavur. So Gemara now is introducing this question of what's the status of an ubar. An ubar, do you have a restriction against selling an ubar to a non-Jew? We said before that you can't sell a behemah gasa to the Ovid Kochavim. We said that there was an exception to the rule according to Rabbi Yehuda of Shvura, according to Bemeter of Sus. We want to know if ubar is also an exception to the rule or under that restriction. Gemara says, Tashma. Let's try to learn it from here. V'amocher lo, afo pishenu rashai. Our Mishnah says that if you sell the behemah gasa, you sell it to the Ovid Kochavim, it goes through and it's poter you from Bechora, afo pishenu rashai. Even though he is not permitted to do such. V'lo polig Rabbi Yehuda. And over here we don't see Rabbi Yehuda arguing. So the case in our Mishnah is a case where you're selling the ubar to the Ovid Kochavim, and it says over there, sheinu rashai, you're not permitted to do so. So we would expect it, Rabbi Yehuda, who says by shvura that you can't sell it to him, that by ubar you should also be able to sell it to him. The fact that Rabbi Yehuda does not dissent in our Mishnah is an indication of his acquiescence to this din that an ubar you may not sell. When it says, b'litameich, according to your reasoning, amishtateif lo, v'abakamel v'menotan lo b'kabalat lo tani, hachanami de lo polig, you're going to suggest that our Mishnah notes anytime there's dissension in the Mishnah, we know the case, we just brought it before, that mishtateif, when it comes to partnership between a goy and a Jew, that you are patur min habechora. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that and says you are chayav in baruchora in that case. If that's true, how come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't mention in our Mishnah? He disagrees with this thing that a mishtateif is patur min habechora. So Ella, what do you have to say? That even though hachanami de lo polig, you're going to suggest over here that he doesn't argue, ella polig velotani. We know there's dissension, we know there's an argument over here, it's just not written in the Mishnah, so hachanami in our case as well. When it comes to she'inu rashai, doesn't mean the Rabbi Yehuda agrees to our Mishnah just because it's not written that he disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah just wrote down the psak halacha according to the chachamim. The dissension leaves for the brito, it leaves for the other Mishnayot. So tashma, let's try to find another answer to this. Rabbi Yehuda omer hamikabel behimam in ovei kochavim. Person who accepts an animal from the Ovid Kochavim to split the offspring, and it gives birth to offspring, you have to exchange your portion of that bechura bishovyo with its value. And then you give a half of that value to the kohen. In that we assess the value of this behemah, this bechor that was born, to you as a partner with the Ovid Kochavim. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a partnership with the Ovid Kochavim does not poter you from bechorah. In terms of your chiyuv, you're only chayav for your half of it, not not for the goy's half. So how do I do that? We assess the value of it, and then we give that value to the Kohen, your value of your partnership, the value of your ownership in this behemah, and we give that value to the Kohen in order to redeem the Bechor. Tosafot over here asks, why don't we just give over the ownership of the partnership to the Kohen? That's usually what you do in these cases. When it comes to Bechor, you're supposed to give it to the Kohen. So obviously if it's a Petar Chamor that we're talking about here, that's easy to explain. So as it says in the end, even if it's not a Petar Chamor, you want to give the Kohen something that's most useful for him, to his Tibo, which is better for him. Over here, it's probably better for him to get the cash than to be thrown into a partnership. Why does he have to deal with a partner? Why does he want to interact with this individual? He has nothing to do with him. He doesn't want to be in partnership with him. And therefore, we give him the money, which is really what the Kohen wants. He wants the value of it, not the headaches of the partnership. But what do you see from here? Someone who gives it to the guy, again, we make you redeem the animal, take it back for up to 10 times its value. But don't take hold of the Kohen, and then you give all of its value to the Kohen. So we'll see about this 10 times. We'll see later at the end of today's daf. But for right now, what do you see here? Over here, we're talking about the Ubar. And he says over here, Af Pish Eino Rashai. You're not permitted to sell this to the Goy. You're giving him the behemah to work for the offspring. It means that you're selling where you're giving him the partnership in a behemah gasa ubar. And over here it says, Af Pish Eino Rashai. So that sounds like Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Chachamim when it comes to Ubar. By Shvurai says that you can sell it to them, but by Ubar here it sounds like you cannot sell it to them. So my lava ubar, what must be that we're talking about in this bright, remember the ubar, and it says, Eino Rashai. Remember it says, Loa behemah. Now it's talking about the behemah itself. The mother is the problem over here. The Gemara says, how can it be the mother of the problem? It says, Vahad Damav, Ketani. It says, Damav in the male form, in Zachar. And that would refer to the Ubar, not to the behemah. The mother's behemah would be, Vashon Nikevav, Dameha. So today, Dameha. The Gemara says, alright, change it from Damav to Dameha and we'll solve our problem. The Gemara says, Vahad Notain, Kol Damav, the Kohen, Ketani. It says, it should give all of its money to the Kohen. Now, if you say, Kol Damav, you're talking about the Ubar, you're giving the money to the Kohen, that makes sense because the Ubar should have belonged to the Kohen, and for Konesio, you're going to give that money to the Kohen. On the other hand, if we're talking about the mother, why is Kol Damav the Kohen? What is the relevance of the Kohen to the mother at all? The mother is owned by the Israel, or by the Ovid Kochavim over here, and that ownership does not change. But there's nothing in it that belongs to the Kohen, so why are you giving its Damav to the Kohen? V'i behema kohen mayavite. What's a kohen relevant to the mother? So hachamayzgina. And what's the case here? Going to yavle behema abarto lepituma. Gave him an animal that was pregnant lepituma to fatten it up. Demigo the kansinan la behema kansinan la ubar. So the fact is that we are konesim for the behema because he gave up the behema now to this non-Jew. So while we're at it, and while we already konesim for the fact that he sold it to the non-Jew, we're also konesim on the ubar itself. But the ubar independently, we wouldn't necessarily be kones to give that money to the kohen. It wouldn't force you to give the money to the kohen. Happens to be in this unique case where the mother is also problematic what you did. Therefore, since we're going to be kones you for the mother, we're also going to be kones you with regards to the ubar to give that money to the kohen. So again, we have no proof as to what the position of Rabbi Yehuda is when it comes to an ubar that is sold to a goy, whether that is permitted, but it'll be kochavim, whether that's permitted or not. So I'm Ravashi Tashma. Let's try this case. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Bishvura, Pnei She'enu Yachol Yitrapot. The reason Rabbi Yehuda says that a shvura is mutar to sell it to the goy is because it doesn't get healthy. It doesn't return to its former state. That means that it's useless in terms of malacha. It's useless in terms of malacha, then there is no reason to keep it around. You're going to shecht it and eat it. So therefore, we don't worry about selling it to the guy. Ha yechola litrapot. If you were able to, if he was able to heal, then it would be asar. He would have been aided asur. Va ubar nami ki yechola litrapot dami. And an ubar has the same stance as yechola litrapot. True, it can't do work today, but eventually it'll be born, it'll grow up, and it will be able to do work, so it will be cured. If that's the case, then it should not be permissible to sell them. Shma mina. We have a conclusion about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that only by shvura you're allowed to sell it. By benubar you would not be allowed to sell it. And we see that from this case over here. The reason behind shvura is because it will not heal well or immediately. And therefore, that is in distinction with the ubar that can't do malacha now, but will eventually be able to do malacha, will heal because it will be born and be able to act like a normal behemah. Some people make this whole statement or all this question on our Mishnah itself. And now we're going to run through the Gemara. It's almost identical Gemara over here for this next section to what we just did, which is our Mishnah says, Let's say our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. He's matir b'shvura. So over here, when it says Einu Rashai to sell the ubar to the Ovei Kochavim, so it sounds like our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can give it over by a shvura. And we're assuming now we would extrapolate the din not only by shvura, but also to ubar. So afilo tamer Rabbi Yehuda, we could even say Rabbi Yehuda would be the author of Mishnah, shvura lav hainu orchei. Shvura, that's not the normal manner, meaning that a shvura, we don't end up doing work, and it's not normal to sell a shvura to do work. Ubar, hainu orchei. You do sell an ubar eventually to do work, or to, normally people do sell ubarim to the non-Jew, and therefore the gzera does apply to the ubar, but does not apply to the case of shvura, of selling behemoth gasot, to obi kochavim. Tashma, yudu merama kabel behemah min obi kochavim, yalda, the case of Kabbalah, and he takes on the Ochamim, and it gives birth. Malin oto bishovyo, he has to assess the value of it, and otein chatzit damav, the coin, and he pays half the value to the coin. And otein lo bekabbalah, bo bishenu reshai, kuntzin oto ad asara bidamav, and otein kol damav, the coin, and he pays it all out to the coin. So my lav, what are we talking about there in that case of the Braita Ubar? Just like we said before, if it's talking about the Ubar, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda's position is that it is a source. From this Braita, you would conclude that Rabbi Yehuda does think that it's problematic when it comes to Ubar, and that would support the position that we just gave in the reading of our Mishnah, that I feel that Rabbi Yehuda would agree in our Mishnah. So when it says, no, you can't prove anything from the Braita, because what the Braita is talking about is not the Ubar, but rather a behema. It's talking about the mother. Doesn't it say in the male form, it's money, it's value you're going to give to the Kohen? So today, dameha, change it to dameha so that it will apply to a behema, not just the ubar. If I know tain called dameha, the coin, tani, you're giving the money to the coin, be behema. You're talking about the mother, coin by vite. Why does the coin get any money? It doesn't belong to him whatsoever. So when it says, achli my skin, what's the case here? Kigon, diyohi behema, barta le pituma. Again, the same way we solved the case before, that he gave a pregnant animal to the goy to fatten it up. Since he sold the behemah against the zerat chachamim, not to sell behemot gasot, we're koneisim. Aubar nami, kantinale aubar. We also make koneisim the ubar to force him to pay it out to the kohen, even though in other circumstances we wouldn't have done such a thing. We wouldn't have forced you to pay out the ubar, or you would not have been in violation of selling a behemot gasah if you sold an ubar independently. So that's the reading of the Braita. If that's the case, then we have no proof from the Braita, because you can read it either way, and I don't have a proof. Now I'm Rav Ashi Tashmar, Rav Yehuda Matir B'Shvura, B'Pnei Shani Yecholi T'Rapot, Ha, Yecholi T'Rapot Asur, V'Hai, Nami Kibi Yecholi T'Rapot, Dami, that Ubar is like a Hitrapot, and Ishma Mina, and therefore we can draw the conclusion here that Rav Yehuda's opinion is that it is Asur by an Ubar, even though he's Matir by Shvura, he is Oser by an Ubar. We saw this same framework of the Gemara twice. Once in just as a general question about the position of Rabbi Yehuda. The second time we asked it directly on the Mishnah by saying that Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of our Mishnah because it says Einu Rashai in the Mishnah, and the Gemara retracts that and says that's not true. He could fit into the Mishnah by explaining the difference between Ubar and a Shvura. And by giving that explanation, we'll differentiate and say that even Rabbi Yehuda will agree by an Ubar that it'll be impermissible to sell it to a Goy. So now the Gemara asks, Ibailuhu, Machar Ba'ema the Uvrea Mai. Person sells the animal for its offspring, then what is the din? As Rashi points out, Dain Shadain Lo Nitabra, as opposed to our Mishnah where the fetus is already in the animal and you're selling that fetus, but here you're selling the animal when it's not pregnant yet, when it hasn't conceived yet. Marchalo Kol Ablado Shadim Nitaber, and this person's buying forward all the production of this animal. But the Behema Atzma Lo Marchalo, so he didn't sell him the animal, similar to what we have in our Mishnah in a case where in our Mishnah, he sells them the Ubar. Over there, the Ubar is already intact. But in the case of Kabbalah, where he gives him the animal to take care of for a split in it, over here, he's selling it. Instead of working the animal, he's selling the animal to him for the production, for any Ubar that is born out there. What's the din? Tibay the Rabbi Yehuda and Tibay the Rabbanan. Question according to Rabbi Yehuda, question according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tibay the Rabbi Yehuda, question according to Rabbi Yehuda. Adkan lo kashar Rabbi Yehuda lo b'shvura. It only permits you to sell to a goy a behema gasa that is a shvura. To lo yetili chlufe, because nobody will make a mistake and to think that you sold a regular behema to this goy, aval shlema, da'adju lechlufe, when you tell him a full-fledged behema, these ubarim that are going to be born afterwards, they're full-fledged behemot, and it looks like you sold it to him, and people get mixed up and say, oh, it looks like it's mutar to sell behema gasa, therefore they will asar. In that case, he said, no, you can't do it. O dilma, umashvura de paska mine, v'chosh again shlema de lo paska mine. In the case of shvura, where he sells it entirely, his ownership is totally removed from this animal. and mutar. Over here, a whole shekin shlema. Over here, when we're talking about a case of a whole animal, something that is not a shura, delo paskamine. He didn't sell it entirely. So since he didn't sell it entirely, maybe over there we're not going to worry about it because he retained the residual ownership in the mother. Since he retained the residual ownership in the mother, it's clear over here why he was allowed to do it. He's allowed to do it because he retains that ownership. He didn't sell it. He didn't sever the relationship between him and the animal entirely. Shvura, where he's severing the relationship entirely, he's selling it to him completely. Over there, I would have a mina that it should be problematic. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, no, it's not problematic because it's a shvura. And it's clear that it will be used for meat, or it's clear that it's not a regular behemah. But over here, where you don't even have that problem, you're not selling it entirely. You're keeping the residual ownership in the mother, in the producer of the offspring over here. And therefore, we don't worry about the gzera whatsoever, and you can sell it to him. So that's one way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the question. Divai the Rabbanan, you could also ask the same question according to Rabbanan. Ad kan lo kasri Rabbanan, elab shivura. Rabbanan says shivura is problematic, the paska minei, because there you made a sale entirely, completely. Since you severed your relationship with the animal, it's like a regular sale, and then we don't want you mixing that up with sales of behemot gasot, of ashlema, the lo paska minei, but when we're talking about a case here, when it's not shivura, and you're retaining residual ownership, sure, maybe it'll be mutar. Odilma, uma shivura de lo achilich lufe asrei. Then in case of shvura, where it's clear that you won't mix them up, because it's different than a behema, they still said it was asur. Koshkin shlema, that's kulei flufe. A case here where you sell a whole animal to the goy, people will get mixed up and think that you can sell behemot gasot to the goy. It says, v'taim of the rabbanon mishum hachiyu? Is that really the reasoning behind the rabbanon why you're not allowed to sell the shvura? Because people might mix it up. Fatanya, we have a braita that says, amrulo, chumim said to Rabbi Yehuda, hello, marbim alea violedet. Problem is that they keep it around. Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutar because it's a shvura, because you're going to use it for meat and not for avoda. And so because of that, it'll disappear quickly and there won't be a problem with people getting mixed up with it. Let me say, wait a minute, there's another option what he could do with this animal. In this, he can't use it for melacha. You're right about that. But it doesn't mean he has to use it for meat. He can use it to produce offspring. Use it for mating in order to produce offspring, and then he'll keep it around for a very long time. Alma mishum uvrehu. So that's, its purpose is for the Ubarim. If its purpose is for the Ubarim, then they're going to keep it around. It's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem that people are going to come to the wrong conclusion. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi kamerle. Tami didon. This is what the Chumim is saying. Our reason is, mishub da'ati lechlufei behema. That we're going to get mixed up with a regular behema. That's the reason we say that you're not allowed to sell a behema gasa to a goy, even when it's a shvura, because we're worried about these getting mixed up and people think you can sell behemot gasot to a goy. Ela at, my time is shorit. What's the reason that you said it's mutar? Mishum de'en yocholo litrapot. You said because it can't be cured or healed. Yaman dizav na l'shkita, and therefore it's like you sold it to use it for meat, dummy. Velo marbina lev yoledet. Wait a minute, you could use it for offspring, you could use it for production. If you do that, they're going to keep it around. It's not for shkita. So kevin de marbina lev yoledet, mishoyla, they're going to keep it around for a long time. So it's a question on Rabbi Yehuda's position. It's not stating the position of the Chachamim. The position of the Chachamim is why you can't sell behema gasa, even a shvura to the Ovid Chachamim, is because the fact that he might mix it up. As we just said before, you might mix it up with a regular behema, and you have people come and sell it, behemot gasot, in other circumstances to the goy. Now they said too, Rabbi Yehuda, that's our reasoning. But your reasoning would suggest that the reason that you're allowed to sell it is because he's only going to use it for meat, he's going to shecht it. What about the fact that he keeps it around and uses it for production, and it will be around for a long time? And the fact that it won't disappear will cause problems for people. So the answer of Rabbi Yehuda is to them, he says, when it gives birth, we'll worry about that. Because this animal, this female, will not reproduce, it will not accept a zachar. Tosafot says it's not because it's a treifa over here, but because it's a shvura, that it will not accept mating with a male. And since that's the case, he won't have this problem. He can't use it for reproduction, he can't use it for mating, and therefore the only use of this animal will be for meat, and it won't be around for a long time. Right now, we're back to our mission. So we just dealt with it right now, was that Zeira against selling behemot gasot to a Ovid Kochavim. How far does that go? We had one question with regards to the Ubar. Does it apply to an Ubar or not? Meaning, does the Machloket Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim still exist over there? The conclusion of the Gemara was that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim when it comes to Ubar that you're not allowed to sell it to the Ovid Kochavim. The next question we had was, what happens if you sell future production to the goy? What's the din? Over there, the Gemara says there are two tzadim, both the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. It's unclear what their position would be in this case. Rabbi Yehuda would not permit it by the Ubar or by selling forward over here, because in the case of the Shvura, you won't mix it up with the Behemah Shlema. But over here, you will mix it up with the Behemah Shlema, because it's a perfectly fine animal. And therefore, people might come mixed up with it. Or do we say the other side is there's no difference in the case? Vaishvura, you're allowed to do it even though you're selling the entire animal. And you're relinquishing your ownership of it. Over here, we're not relinquishing ownership. You still own the mother. Over there, will not be a case of getting mixed up. So Rabbi Yehuda questioned Rabbi Yehuda's position. And the question of the Rabbanan's position will be, according to Rabbanan, do we differentiate between Shvura, where the ownership is severed entirely, versus over here, where the ownership is not severed entirely? Or do we say that the problem is Atei Lechlufe? And just like by Shvura, they think it's Atei Lechlufe, also over here. Of course, by Shleima, certainly it would be Atei Lechlufe, and they would be Gozer. And then the Gemara just checked in, is that really the reason of the Chachamim, that it's Atei Lechlufe? The Gemara says yes. In the end, they were challenging Rabbi Yehuda about his position with regards to this issue of Shechita. So that's what we dealt with until now. Now we're going back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Tashma, Vanotein lo b'kabbalah, lo katani yafu b'sheinu reshai. So say you gave it to him with Kabbalah. There it doesn't say that it's not permissible. So the Gemara says, if it's not saying it's not permissible, sounds like it is permissible to do such. If that's the case, sounds like even according to the Chachamim, you could sell the Ubar. The Gemara says, Litamech, Vamishtateif lo, Tolo Tani, Alchanami de Rashai. Ah, you're going to suggest now that because it doesn't say it's impermissible in the Mishnah, that means that it's mutar. What about the next case of the Mishnah? Next case of the Mishnah is a partnership with the Ovi Kochavim. And you're suggesting now that that's okay? Person can't make a partnership with a non-Jew. Maybe the non-Jew will be chayiv. And in order to uphold his position or to demonstrate the truth of his position, he'll take a shvuah, but it'll be shvuah and avodah zarah. The Torah amra, lo yishama al picha. The Torah says that you should, avodah zarah should not be heard on your mouth. And as Rashi points out, al picha, bagramat picha, by the cause of your mouth. You shouldn't cause avodah zarah to be mentioned. And over here, because of this partnership, you're causing the elevation of avodah zarah, the mention of avodah zarah in the world. Hello, what it must be in our Mishnah? Tana mechira, vuadin l'shutafut. So just like by Mechira, we said it's Einu Rashai, and by Shutafut, it's also Einu Rashai, but we're going to just apply it. It's stated once, and applies to the remainder of the mission. Just like Mocher is Einu Rashai, so too Shutafut is Einu Rashai. Hakanami, you could say the same thing. Tana Mechira, Vodin the Kablanut. That we say is the latter half of the Mishnah, which is talking about Kablanut. Also there will be Einu Rashai, and you can't prove anything from the fact that it doesn't say Einu Rashai by Kablanut. Umay Shno Mechira. Why did Nakat? Why did it only mention Einu Rashai by Mechira? Ikar Mechirahi. Because that's the main way of transacting. That's the main way where you're going to have the problem. The Ikar Gzeirah is written by the Mechira. That's where it was. That's where Pesh Rashi, the Ikar Yisur Hu by Mechira. And that's the way Rashi explains it. And Tosafot explains it. Tzarek Lomar Ikar Yisurah Pashut Hu Mechira. It's not that the Gzeirah is only by Mechira. It's just that that's the basic framework in which it happens. That's where the problem will arise the most often, is that when you sell it. And that's what the Gezeirah is relating to. So therefore, Einu Rashai, we put together with Mechira, which is the most common case, or here, according to Rashi, that's where the Ikar Gezeirah was. And it applies to the remainder of the Mishnah as well. Don't draw any other conclusions that it doesn't say Einu Rashai with the other parts of the Mishnah. Now what's interesting here is, this partnership with the Ovid Kochavim, is that we're not allowed to, you're not allowed to do business with an Ovid Kochavim, because when you do business with another person, you can end up in court, and you can have the same problem that it takes a Shavua, B'Shem Vodah Zarah. Or does this only relate to partnerships? So it's interesting that Tosafot over here says, "Mikabalah lo shayach lakshot mitzar mishum shutafin delo ati bekabalah kol kach lidei shvua." By Kabbalah, you're not going to end up in a shvua, but dafka nakat shutafut. It's dafka shutafut that is a problem here. Aval shar masa v'matan lo asur. Other business dealings, there's not asur because the partnership always ends up with a lot of friction and a likelihood that people have to take shvuot, and it's directly related to your ownership and your partnership. Over there we say it's problematic, that's a vua d'shmo. But in cases of regular interaction in business, even though sometimes those end up in court and sometimes they end up with a shvua, that's not almost like a psik reshe that will come out of a business transaction. Usually in a partnership, there's always a dissolution of the partnership at some point. There's always questions or friction between the partners, and therefore it's almost a psik reshe that you're going to end up with a shvua. So the restriction is, again, it's putting together partnerships with them rather than doing business with them. Now, the other thing that Tosafa mentions over here, Shemi Tchayev Lo Abedu Kochavim Shvua. What happens in the case of a partnership? We say you're not allowed to do the partnership according to Avodah Zarah because maybe you'll take a shvua b'shem Avodah Zarah. What happens if you are in a partnership and he does take that shvua Avodah Zarah? Do we accept it? Do we tell him go ahead and make it or not? That's a machlok between the brothers, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam. Thus it says, Mikano se Rabbeinu Shmuel Kabbalat HaShvua Mikal V'Chomer. Rashbam says, forget about the fact that you shouldn't make a partnership because you might come to have a Shavuah. That's a Kal v'chomer if he does. If you are in a partnership, then you may not accept such a Shavuah, because then you're definitely causing the Avodah Zarah to be mentioned. Because if you demand the Shavuah and you tell him that he must take that Shavuah and you accept the Shavuah, then you are somehow affirming the Shavuah that he took b'shem Avodah Zarah. And certainly that should be problematic. Other than his brother, the Rabbeinu Tam, is matir. Because it's like saving money from them. I mean, the only way for you to get this money is for you to have to take a Shavuah, or to be sure that he's not cheating you. And we have the same case in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to transact with the Obdei Chachamim Karov the Chagehem, Karov the Edehem, close to the time that they have their holidays, because they'll be Modeh to Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara over there, it says, if it's a milva al peh, something that's done orally, and you have no evidence to it, and if you don't take it now, you're never going to see that money again. It's kimatzil miyadam. Even though we know that it's going to be modeh l'avodah zarah. Nevertheless, we say to you, go get your money, because otherwise you'll never see it again. So the Rabbeinu Tam wants to apply that as well here. That if you don't take the shavuah from him, there's no way we're going to get any honesty out of this partnership. There's no way you're going to get to the bottom of this. And therefore we accept the shavuah in order to be matzil miyadam. And then, Od Perush Rabbeinu Tam b'zman hazeh, which is very interesting. What about today? What's the din of partnerships with Obdei Kochavim today? And he says, Od Perush Rabbeinu Tam b'zman hazeh, Hakula nishbaim b'kodoshim. Everybody is nishba b'kodesh. Vein topsim b'em elahut. And they don't assign godliness to that kodesh. Even though when they take some object, or holy object, or kodesh that they mention, they also mention some godly aspect over here. And in their kavanah, it's obviously not for the Hashem, but rather for their quote-unquote God. And become going to shame avodah kochavim. That's not really avodah zarah. Ki da'atam l'shem osei shemayim v'aretz. The real intent is for God, the one God. Even though he mentioned God and their human God as well alongside of it, there's no problem over here. It's not a problem. The Bnei Noach are not warned about this. There's a problem for a Jew to do shituf where he joins both a Kodesh Baruch Hu and some other figure together. That's a problem for a Jew. But for a Ben Noach, that's not an issue. And if it's not an issue for a non-Jew, then there's no problem with lifnei iver for the Jew. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, in Europe, with our Christian brethren, it's not a problem to be in partnership with them in terms of the Shavuah. It's not a problem to accept the Shavuah from them, because their Shavuah, even though it involves shituf, Shituf by Ben Noach is mutar. And we did this. We did the sukkah in the Sanhedrin, but this Gemara in the Sanhedrin on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Bet. Over there, we discussed the fact of whether there's shituf by Ben Noach or not, and the implications of that. If you want to take a look back there? We have the Mikorot with regards to the shituf of Ben Noach back in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But this Rabbeinu Tam is a fundamental Rabbeinu Tam in terms of his shituf and our relationship with our Christian brethren when he was dealing with them in Europe, both in terms of Shavuah, as well as with their status of the Avodah Zarah or not. And now the Gemara tries again. Tashma, let's try to prove it from here. Yehuda Mera Mekabel Behema Min Ovi Kochavim Bialda. Person accepts a Behema from Ovi Kochavim Bialda. Madlin Oto B'Shovyo. He says its value. Notein Chatzit Dam of the Kohen. You give half the value to the Kohen. Notein B'Kabbalah. If you give it over to the Goy, even though it's not permissible, consino to add asarab damav, consider until 10 times its value, and ten kol damav the queen. Vechachamim omrin, chachamim say, kol zman shiado chachim behemzam tura min bechora. Anytime there's a goy involved, there is no chiyuv bechora. So this is machlokas of Yehuda and the chachamim. Chachamim say that when there is a shutafut, when there is a goy that's joined in, it's poter mi din bechora the gamre. So Yehuda says, now when the goy is there, his part is patur, but your part remains chayav. And especially in the case where you're giving over your behemah to him, and then you're mafkiya midei bechora, over there we say that you rekones you up to 10 times its value in order to redeem it, in order to punish you for the fact that you were mafkiya kedusha from this animal. So my love, what's the case over here? Abehemah, that we're speaking about the mother. Speaking about the mother over there and the animal itself, see that we are causing him, rekones him, to redeem the animal. So Alma, so what you conclude from this is that he sold the animal for the Ubre, for its offspring, and yet we're being Konis you, Ben the Rabbi Yehuda, Ben the Rabbonon, we're being a Konis you, because even the Rabbonon only here argue on the fact that you, it's not a din in Bechor, there's no Chiyuv Bechorah, but they agree with the fact that we're Konis you to buy the animal back. So you see here that even though you didn't sell the animal itself, you only sold it for its offspring, we're still Konis you to buy the animal back and bring it back. So that shows you that it's asur to do such a thing, both according to Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mar says, lo, Ubar, it's talking about the Ubar itself. Deganami, it makes a lot of sense. The Kantani Konsino Tovaras Rabbi Damav. Damav, meaning it's Damim, and therefore it makes a lot of sense that we're talking about Ubar itself. It's written in the male form, as well as the fact that it says that you give all the money to the Kohen, which also would be relating to the Ubar. So it's the exact opposite conclusion of what we had said before. Again, before we tried to use this Braita to prove Rabbi Yehuda's position, the Gemara said, oh, it's talking about the Ubar over there. The Gemara says, no, it's talking about the Hema. Over here, where we wanted to bring some proof of the guys of the Behema being sold for its offspring, we said, oh, this Braita is talking about Behema, and the Gemara says, no, it's really talking about Ubar. So you see the Gemara playing both sides of it, but just showing you that it's not Mukhrach. You can't prove anything from the Braita, because you can learn the Braita equally well either way, and since that's the case, you can't prove anything from this Braita. The Gemara says, Messiah the Reish Lakish. So let's say this is a benefit or a proof to Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, Mocher Behema Gasad, Ovid Kochavim, Kontinu to Asir Rab Dameha. That a person who sells a Behema Gasad to Ovid Kochavim has to redeem it until 10 times its value. So you see, just like over here in this Braita, we suggest that you have to redeem the animal for 10 times its value. So too Reish Lakish says that. So this Braita will support that position of Reish Lakish. Gemara says, Davko, Lav Davko. We say until 10 times its value. Does that mean literally 10 times its value? Or that's just an indication we make you pay as much as it requires to get it back. Tashma. Someone who sells his slave to an Ovid Kochavim, you have to redeem him up to 100 times his value. So if that's the case, by Evid it says 100 times, then over here if it says 10 times, we've got to take 10 times literally. Because if he wanted to say unlimited, it should have said 100 like it does by the Evid. In fact, that it says 100 there and 10 over here, it sounds like these numbers are exact. It says, no, Shani Evid, the Chol Yom V'Yom Mafkilei Mitzvot. That's different. The Evid's different because we say up to 100 times over there because unlimited funds, because every day that he's with this guy, he's no longer doing mitzvot. He's no longer under the auspices of a Jew. He's no longer performing mitzvot. And therefore, we require you to redeem him at any value. So that won't prove anything with regards to what the 10 times is by the Behema, because the Evid is a totally different case. Reish Lakish has a statement that when it comes to Behema Gassad, you sold the Ovid Kochavim against the Gzerat Chachamim, against the Takanat Chachamim, you pay 100 times. You charge him up to 10 times the value. The Gemara says, wait a minute, 10 times its value? You just said 100 times. When it says, Mechira, Paskamine, when it's talking about selling, over there you've relinquished total ownership. So over there we're going to make you pay up to 100 times to get it back. Over here, Kablanut, when you're giving it over to him for the offspring afterwards, Lo Paskamine, you still have the residual ownership in the mother. And because of that, we say 10 times. So Davko or Lav Davko? So which one is it? Is it Davko or Lav Davko? Tashma Dam Rabbi Shimon Levi Mocher Avdol Ovid Kochavim Kontinu to Aras Rabbi Damav. You konis him up to 10 times its value to redeem it. So you see over there by Eved it's 10 times. Over here we're saying 100 times. So it must not be literal. I said Shani Eved Lo Hadole. No, the reason by Eved we don't make him pay up to 100 times is because by Eved when he redeems him he goes free. Because we have that the Gemara tells us that a Mocher Avdol, someone sells Avdol to Ovid Kochavim, he goes free. He's automatically Yatzei Lechirut. As you would say, the Chirut, but you have to redeem him. But we're only going to redeem him up to 10 times his value because the redemption is not going to benefit the owner. And therefore we say 10 times. But by Behema, we're going to say 100 times.
That is Rashi's opinion with regards to why by the Eved the din is different. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Gershon says the shiny Eved, the lo hadar lei birt sono, etel Yisrael rabo, the machar shemachro rabo lo vid kochavim, soned rabo, velo bay lemaider lei, hilkach lo kansin in lei the rabo tfe, yeladas rabbi damav. That the reason that the Eved's not going to come back to his Eved, he's not going to be willing to return to him, he feels slighted by the fact that his Adon, his master, sold him away to this Ovid Kochavim, and therefore he's not going to return willingly. And because of that problem, we're not going to force the Adon to pay up too much money because of the friction that has been caused here and which will not allow them to reconcile at this point in time.
So Behema, my time, Mishum de Kahadrele, Iknesei Tvei Chad. Wait a minute. The reason by Behema you're saying is because it's going to come to his benefit and the underlying animal has some benefit to it, then you should add one more. Instead of saying 10 times, you should say 11 times. Instead of saying 100, it should be 101 times. Because one part of the value, or the Karen, is valuable to him because he's buying back his Behema. That's his own Behema. He's getting back. So the Knas is only that which is in excess of the value of Behema. So if you're going to say 10 times, it should really be 11 times to get the 10 times Knas. One is not a Knas. One is the value of the animal. Ela Eved Milta de lo Shechichai. Eved is something that's not common. And since it's not common, they only go there up to 10 times. They won't go there up to 100 times. But by Behema, it would be 100 times. Now, 100 times it's Davka. Mara here has two statements by Reish Lakish. One statement says that by Behema, it's 10 times. that you have to pay in order to redeem it after you violated this, takanat chachamim. Mar wants to know if that's dafka or lav dafka. The second statement of Reish Lakish goes 100 times. And again, is that dafka or lav dafka? The Gemara tries to prove by the fact that Eved has a different din, because the fact that Eved has either 100 in the first case versus the Behemah that has 10, or in the second case, Behemah has 100 and the Eved has 10. The Gemara rejects that in this case and says that Eved and Behemah are just different cases. You can't compare the two, because either in the first case, you've been mafkia midei mitzvot, and that's why it's 100 times. It's not relevant to 10 times by him. Could be that 10 times is dafka or lav dafka. Just the fact that we express it 100 times by the Eved is because you're mafkia de mitzvot. Also in the second case, where we said that it is 10 times for the Eved and 100 times for the Behemah, the Eved is different over there because the Eved will go free. There's no benefit to the Balim versus by the Behemah where there is a benefit. The Gemara rejects that and then says, no, the difference is about Shkiach. It's not Shkiach that one sells his Eved to an Ovid Kochavim. It is more Shkiach that he would sell his Behemah, and therefore, by the case of Shkiach, the Eved goes there at 100 times. The case of the Eved, where it's not so common, they only said 10 times. You can't prove anything from the fact that there's a difference between the numbers of a Behemah and an Eved, because there we have good reason to differentiate between them, and therefore we either have a very big number by the Eved in the first case or a very small number by the Eved in the second case, and there's a reason behind that, but that reason does not apply to Behemah, and so Behemah, we're left that question of whether it's Davka or Lav Davka when they, Reish Lakish said 10 times or 100 times. All right, we'll stop over here.